And we think that we are backed into a corner, that nothing is possible here in our life. And God says that if you return to Him, you will be restored. That means everything that the enemy has taken from you, everything that has happened in the past, God is going to work out for your good. It says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God. And I truly believe that. And here it says in Job, and we're in the 22nd chapter of Job, that you need to establish His words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness far from your tent and place your gold in the dust, the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, then the Almighty will be your gold. That means if you don't count the gold of this world as anything, and you don't put a lot of focus and a lot of attention on that, the material things in this life, then God will become your gold and choice silver to you. And then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God, and you will pray to Him, and He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also decree a thing. Here it is, Darren, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. And when you are cast down, you will speak with confidence, and the humble person He will save. You know, it says somewhere in Psalms that we fall seven times, but we who know God will come up every time. We may fall seven times, but we will always bounce right back.
Well, here's the key. God. In verse 29 of Job 22, it says, when you are cast down, you will speak with confidence, and
yes,
the humble person He will save. He will deliver one who is not innocent. Now, this is a real twist here. He will deliver one who is not innocent, and he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands.
That's almost like John 20, where Jesus says, if you remit someone's sins, they will be remitted. If you retain, they will be retained. Jesus is taking up exactly what was spoken here in Job.
Well, going back to verse 28, and many messages could be preached out of this one verse, but it says this to us as human beings. If you decree a thing, it will be established not by you, but for you.
Yes.
And I love that. You will decree a thing, it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. Now, light is really understanding here. Light is deliverance. Light is salvation. And when we, by an act of our will, choose to decree a thing, and many people use this to their own demise, to their own hurt, you can decree, I'm sick. In fact, when we were walking into the studio today, we heard a man talking all about his sicknesses. And Barb walked on down the hall. She said, every time we go by, that guy's talking about his sickness and talking about his problems. And that's true. And this guy is a brilliant guy, but he is stuck on the affliction that has come upon him.
Mm-hmm.
He is decreeing further afflictions.
That's right.
And he goes to a word church. That's what's really sad for both of us,
mm-hmm,
is that he needs to be caught up short and say, why do you continue to decree this, because it's keeping you in the pit?
That's right.
You need to start decreeing that the Word of God is true and bigger than any problem I have, and the Word of God will bring deliverance to you, because it says, decree a thing. What if we decreed health?
Oh, yes.
What if we decreed prosperity?
Good relationships.
And it,
yes,
will be established for,
yes,
you, and light will shine on your path.
Yes.
That is a wonderful, wonderful scripture. It goes down to say, when you're cast down, and all of us are cast down from time to time. I mean, I had depression. I hate the word. Depression tried to get on me last week, and I told you. I mean, I had to stand up and fight that thing off, but I was decreeing, I am not going to stay. I absolutely hate that.
Well, what if we're in a bad situation with a relationship, Darren, and we see no way out of it, apart from, say we're married, apart from divorce, and you begin decreeing that your partner loves you with all their heart, that your partner, spouse, whatever you want to call that person,
loves Jesus
with all his heart, that spouse is going to be in agreement with the Word and is going to begin praising God and lifting his hands or her hands and is going to receive Jesus as you have received Jesus. What if we decree things like that, Darren?
Well, that's Romans 4:17. I'll tell you, the father of faith said that, is calling things that are not as though they were. That was our father, Abraham, who introduced,
yes,
faith to the earth.
Faith.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
But if we call old Uncle Fred, who's always been a drunken slop and a souse and all the things, words we put on, why don't we start saying, you know, Uncle Fred, he's worshiping the Lord God. Oh, Uncle Fred, he's sober.
A worshiper of the Most High.
Call
God.
Him what you want him to become.
Praise
don't
God.
Lock him in with your words to deeper sin, yes, and more prolonged sin.
That's right. Like, we guard our mouth. We guard those things in our mouth. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And that's Psalm 141:2. We really need to memorize that. And then we can lift up our hands as an offering to God. But we do need to set a guard, Darren, over what we say about people. And as I speak good things about you, in the process, I change my attitude. And I begin to love you more, to trust you more, to have confidence in you more in the decisions that you make for this household. And by my very words, I'm establishing laws here that are going to make our marriage better and better.
That's a good idea, Barbara. When did you start doing this?
About 7 years ago.
About 7 years ago when we started up. Well, I like this scripture here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13.
Oh, one of now, my here, favorites.
God is talking about the ways of people. And out of our ways come our deeds and our actions. But it says, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to be. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure. Iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. In other words, all these things were conjured up by the mind of men. Mm-hmm. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Some of you wondered why, you know, it seems like God's got the phone off the hook, that you're not getting through to him. See, maybe some of your ways are an absolute abomination. I mean, they come up in God's face and they say, I don't like this.
Yeah, it's like we were just talking to a guy who was asking about the Sabbath. And he was saying, you know, what do you serve God on the Sabbath? Do you go to church on the Sabbath or do you go on Sunday? Well, here God says, I hate your Sabbath. It's our heart attitude, as Jesus was saying. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. It's our heart attitude that's really important here, Darren. I know some people, they go on the Sabbath. They go on Sunday. They sit in that pew. They have carnal and fleshly hearts. They go out and do awful things during the week. And they think just because they go to church on Sunday, it's going to save them.
Won't happen.
God says, I hate that. I hate you doing that.
Well, he goes on to say, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you, God knows what he's doing here. He's saying, hey, come on, clean up your act here.
That's
and
right.
You know, there's some things we have to do in the physical as well as in the spiritual. And, of course, words are spiritual. We need to really realize that. Words are spiritual. So when we say, God, I've been wrong. I've been on the wrong track. I need to turn around and change. Well, then you're starting to catch on, I'll tell you.
That's right. And when he says here, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. I mean, though you are guilty, though you are absolute sinner, I will make your heart as wool. I will cleanse you. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Darren, that heart attitude, that decision that we make is so important. It's just like David again in the 51st chapter of Psalm. He says, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. This is when he committed adultery and murder, one of the most grievous sins found in the Bible. He actually had Uriah go before the battling armies knowing that he was going to die so he could have his wife. What a grievous sin, and yet David knew God would wash him and cleanse him if he came to him with a broken and a contrite heart. That's all that God wants from us, Darren, is a broken and a contrite heart.
Well, it really started with the sin of lying,
mm-hmm.
and then the sin of murder, and the sin of adultery. Actually, the adultery came before the murder. But in James 4:8 it says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And he says in James chapter 1, the double-minded will not receive anything from the Lord.
That's right.
You know, Barbara, when our hands are defiled, when we've been involved in things that we know our heart of hearts is telling us, our conscience is telling us, hey, you shouldn't be involved in that, and we continue, we are entering into double-mindedness. And if we stay there in those areas where we're saying no to God, he's saying, now I want you to stop the gambling. And of course, here in Denver, you know, right up in the mountains, we have Black Hawk and Central City. And all this gambling, you know, that's come in from the big gambling cities has moved into Colorado now. Well, if we have people, or if you're one of those that go up there and you say, well, I only play a few dollars on the slots and that kind